This is Taking Dance Home, Learning to Lead. This is a sequel to a class I've done before called Taking Dance Home, Choreographing for Your Home Circle. So that was given in Paris Landing 2008, A Season of Our Joy, and that is available at our website. I have our little cards if you're interested in checking that out. I'm also on a YouTube channel. My channel is Shay, S-H-A-Y, the number 4, dance. And that's my YouTube channel. And then my website is www.campau, C-A-M-P-A-U, spot, S-P-O-T, dot com.
Campau.
Spot.
Spot, S-P-O-T.
S-P-O-T, dot com. We all have a spot in the world, so that's kind of where that came from. Okay, so that's where you can get the information from this class and if you want to buy the thing. So, all right. Well, I'm going to start with my story of how dance has become a part of my life.
They shut off the air conditioner rumbling.
I have no control over that. I will talk louder.
Okay.
All right, I will talk louder. All right, I grew up in a large family, and while my parents and Yahweh provided for us, there wasn't a whole lot of money for extra little thingies. And so I wanted to be a ballet dancer, but it was not in the budget. And besides that, I was born broken. My body, broken. My body, the left side of my body was severely deformed. I'm hearing impaired. I have totally deaf on one side. I have my hip was malformed to the point where my leg was twisted in so badly that I couldn't walk as a child. It hurt too bad. There's other things that were wrong. So I was a broken person wanting to dance, and I couldn't even walk. And so I'm telling you this because you can see me and you can see that I dance. And so something has to happen between then and now. And that is that God has healed me. Yahweh has miraculously healed my hip, remade it. And the x-rays from before when I was 13 and the x-rays from now when I'm an adult are completely different person. And so that is amazing. And through that process of healing, he healed me after I learned how to dance though. And so I was introduced to this Hebraic, Messianic, Israeli, whatever you want to call it, dance at my first Sukkot in Chandler in 2001.
What state?
That was in Oklahoma with Monte Judah. That was my first experience. And when I met my husband, he wasn't going to church at the time, and so I dragged him to my Pentecostal church. I got the boy saved, and we got married. Well, then he started asking God what he wanted. God wanted him to do, and God said, "Study my word." So he did, and he went back to his roots, which were the Sabbath and the feast. And so he dragged me, kicking and screaming, to this cult thing, and there I met dance, and I met some wonderful, patient, loving women who taught me, who put up with my temper tantrums, who put up with my horrible bad attitude, and taught me and brought me in with love and broke down all those walls of, this is weird, I don't like this, I don't want to be here, and pulled me in with the dance. And I got so excited about it. I took little notes. I had little diagrams with feet and drew pictures and wrote down everything. And I'm not sure if you know Annie Dowell upstairs in the resource room. She's the blonde up there. Well, she was one of those ladies that helped teach me. And she pulled me aside that first year and she says, "You're going to teach this." And I'm looking at her like, "You are crazy. I can't dance. My body's broken. I don't know what I'm doing. And you're telling me I'm going to teach this." Well, now, down the road, Yahweh has. He's brought me through so many things, and he's brought me to the ability to teach and to lead. He's given me the gift of choreography, which is definitely a gift. I have no training in this. I should not be able to do what I do, but he gave me that gift, and that gift is to bless other people. And the two presentation dances that we did this year, you know, those were gifts from Yahweh to bless his people. And so I'm telling you this, that I have no qualifications. I did not have the body that had the ability. But Yahweh used me and used my heart to to do this. And so I'm telling you this, and that he can use you to touch and reach the people that you are in contact with. And so after that first feast, I went home and I danced all by myself because there's nobody else. And, you know, I've been an athlete. I've played 3 varsity sports. I'm slightly coordinated. And, you know, all of that I did in pain. I always hurt. Always hurt. But when I danced, Yahweh gave my body grace that I could dance and like rise above that pain and not feel it and not be affected by it. And that was a blessing. And I learned a lot those first few years, because you know, you learn something and you're like, I know this. I'm all that, and you're doing it wrong. And so I've had to learn a lot of grace. I've had to learn a lot of humility, a lot of patience, and learn that the point isn't about me looking good. The point is about bringing people to him to look beautiful for him. And if that means I don't dance something complicated and fast so that everyone can join in, that's what we need to do. If that means that I have to change something to allow everyone to join into the dance, that's what I need to do. And to have patience with people, to encourage people, to teach them that Scripture says, make a joyful noise. It does not say make a beautiful noise. It does not even say perfectly pitched noise or even unified noise. It says make a joyful noise. Well, I apply that to everything. If you can make a joyful noise, you can make a joyful movement, even if you're going the wrong way, because he's looking at our hearts. And so from this class, I want to teach you how to encourage other people. If you want to take this and teach another person, is how do you encourage other people? How do you guide and direct other people to learn how to do this? And there are several tools that you can take home from this feast that are can help you with that. And one of them is my website and my YouTube channels. Another thing is Season of Our Joy has done an excellent job putting together a teaching video. It has a lot of songs, instructions all on there that you can purchase. Also, they have a book with all of the instructions written out, which I find really handy. I always take all my dances with me. I have like a 3-inch ring binder with all the dances in them. That way, oh, let's do this one. I'm like, I don't remember. Look at it. You can get a quick, and then you can do it. And so that's another thing I would encourage you. If you want to learn to lead a dance, make sure you have triggers, things that can remind you how to do the dance, so you're not worrying about the dance itself and having to have them all memorized. We don't have all the dances memorized. We are familiar enough with them that we can go with the leader who does have them all memorized. In a perfect world, all of us dance leaders would know all of the dances and be able to lead them all. But that's a lot of work and energy, so we all know our own dances, and then everyone follows along. But a big thing that helps with that is to have your brain, this is, I call it my brain, and that will help you as a leader, is write them down. If you learn something really fun, write it down and keep track of that. Again, this class is a sequel to a class I called Taking Dance Home, Choreographing for Your Worship Circle. And there I work through how to, okay, we're here and you've got the same, I think, 20 songs or so. And if you want to go home, you're not going to be doing those same exact songs, you know. And maybe you can't find a dance for it on the internet and you're really tired of doing Old Friend 500 times for every song. That class takes you through and teaches you how to put groups of steps together to make a section for the verse and a section for the chorus, and teaches you how to do that simply. And then as your repertoire of dance steps grows, you can add more steps in. As you experience more dances, you can take that home with you as well. And that class is available on CompoSpot as well. You can go there and you can watch that class on my website. Yep.
Free?
Yes. So on there, there's a dance spot. Like there's a side and it says dance spot under there. And then I believe there's teachings too that you can go to and get those classes. I have a handout for that class if you're interested in taking that home. And I will get that for you at the end of class. I want to stress something here, that there's a difference between worship dance, the congregational dance, which can be done in circle or by yourself or in worship, and what I call performance dance. Performance dance is what we did for the, you know, the dances that we had up front. We practiced for months. I was mean. I want it like this. And that is a performance dance. That is very different than a worship dance circle, where the worship dance circle, you don't need to be perfect. We're not asking for perfection. We're asking you to just join us in worshiping our Heavenly Father. And there's that is something that you really want to stress to the people that you are teaching, is it's okay to mess up. It's all right if you go the wrong way. You know, God's looking at our hearts, and He's looking at our desire to worship Him, right? So, in worship dance, there's always going to be a leader. At least one person is always going to be leading. Otherwise, it'll be very hard to have unity. In a presentation dance, there's not supposed to be a leader. Everybody's supposed to have that thing memorized and doing it together in unity. So there is a difference there. So knowing that there has to be a leader and you are the leader means that you are always on. Does that make sense? You are the one that people are always going to be looking to see where we're going next if this song is your song. And that being said, there's a lot of pressure and there's a lot of freedom with that because you're in charge, you can do whatever you want. But then you also know that you are the one definitely directing and helping people go where they need to go. All right? So as a worship leader, I have a kind of a definition here. Worship dance leader is the person who leads a group of people in a dance, usually during a music worship service or during a dance time. Okay? This person knows the dance and is able to communicate to the dancers around them what to do during the dance. And that is very, very important. Because if you know the dance, but you aren't able to communicate to the other people around you what you're going to do next, that is not going to be a very effective dance leader. And sometimes that means you have to be able to think two or three steps ahead of where you are currently in the dance, but not lose it while you're dancing right then. And that's sometimes I get stuck. I'm like, oh no, I'm thinking about the next part. And I'm like, I should be paying attention to this because I just missed a step. Which is sometimes what happens to us dance leaders up there. We're like, oh yes, we're going this way. We fake it a lot. This is true. And then, so if you have a group and there's lots of people that know it, there should only be one dance leader. And everyone else should follow or help that dance leader. And then there's also dance etiquette in that, you know, how you join and exit a circle. You wait for the end of a song. If you can, if you come into the middle and you know the dance and the dance leader has just messed it up, you know, don't correct the dance leader in the middle of the dance. And that is something as a dance leader yourself you would appreciate. And then as you teach your people, if you teach them that etiquette, you can send them on to another dance circle and they will have that respect and treat another dance leader well as well. And part of you being a dance leader, if you're teaching this, you can teach your people to have that kind of respect and etiquette. They will be welcomed and be a blessing to other people when they join their circles. And that brings, I mean, it just compounds the blessing. We up in the front, we kind of have our own little code, you know, and someone's eyes get real big and you kind of like, you know, they've completely lost it. The backup dance leader will help, you know, going this way next. And that is something we've worked out together as a group of dance leaders. But it's a unity thing. It's a supporting, you know. And if someone does something wrong, go with it. And don't make faces. Don't pretend that, you know, like, oh, they just messed up. You know, that the whole point is to lift people up and to bring up the dance. And by being that kind of a dance leader for other people, you can inspire them to be that way for yourself as well. Another thing as a dance leader is you have to practice. You have to know what you're doing with the dances and be comfortable with that. You know, if you're uncomfortable with a step, that's going to show when you're dancing, because you're going to be hesitant and you're not going to be strong. And one of the things when you're leading is you have to be strong. You got to know you're going to go this way. Because if you don't, then nobody's going to follow you. And you know, when someone is a strong leader, it's easy to follow them because they have confidence. You have confidence, they're not going to run you off a cliff. And if someone's very hesitant, then it's hard to read their body. You know they're not sure, so they might change their mind, kind of idea. So that's where practice comes in. That's where knowing your dances and knowing your steps come in. And if you're not comfortable with a step, change it for one that you are. And by doing that, you can always change the dance later and teach your people another version or another kind of that dance later. And it'll be okay. There's no rule that says this is the way the dance can only be ever done. Because that dance is fluid. Dance is always moving and changing. And then you also have a great responsibility as a dance leader. You're in charge of whoever's in your circle, so you are in charge of keeping them safe. And if, like last night I had the class, I had a group of people that would not have been able to handle some of the dances that I know because they just haven't learned those steps, or it's too fast, or there was a couple of older people that I didn't want to break. And so my choice of what I chose to teach took that into account. And so I kept the people safe. I kept within their ability range as much as I think I pushed them a little, but, you know, and so my responsibility for that group of people, if I am their leader, they are my responsibility during the time that I am their leader. And so if you keep that in mind and you remember to take care of your people, if you've got children in your circle, to make sure that they are taken care of, they don't get run over, if that's by making a second circle, if that is by making sure they're in between adults, however you want to do that, those are your people at that point. Those are the ones that you're taking care of. And another thing that I had to learn was the best dancer doesn't necessarily make the best dance leader. Just because you can do every crazy awesome step on the planet doesn't necessarily mean that you are a good dance leader, because leading is not about what I can do and the glory I get for being able to do 16 flying mimes in a row. The glory is, how can we come to him and bring him glory? And if that means we do putsy little mimes for 16 counts, that's what needs to happen. I didn't get to show off. Boo-hoo. Well, that's not the point. The point is that I have brought to him what I can. And so sometimes, like Sarah Ewing teaches beginning dance, and she would be the first one to say, and she says it loudly, I have two left feet. Well, why is she such a good dance leader for the beginning dance? Because she has empathy for the people, and she shares that with them and encourages them that, you know what, I feel like I'm this way. So you guys can do this too. It's not too hard. You can do it. You're able to do it. And that is an excellent trait to have, that ability to encourage people and say, look, I overcame what you think is something that is keeping you from dancing. And so by being able to do that, that brings much blessing to the group of people that you are in charge of. And then the last thing is, your goal as a dance leader is to incorporate as many people around you in worship to Yahweh using dance as the medium. The more unity you can bring to a circle, the more beautiful it will look to others, and the more dancers will enjoy being in the circle, and the more blessed dancing and more glory will be given to Yahweh. If you've got dancers in your circle that are just so frustrated, they feel so stupid because they turn the wrong way every single time, and it's, you know, that takes away from their ability to worship. That takes away from their ability to feel lovely in the dance. And that's generally what we want. We want to feel lovely. We want to feel beautiful. We want to feel like we're with the group. And so your goal as a leader is to bring your people to a place of worship in the kindest, strongest way possible. And as you grow your group, as you grow the people that are dancing with you, your dances will eventually get more complicated. Your dances will be able to function maybe perhaps at a higher technical level, and your people can still remain in that level of worship. When I started teaching dance maybe 7 years, 8 years ago, my group of people, man, we did Old Friend a lot. I got them nailed. I mean, they had Old Friend nailed. Well, now I'm dancing with my teenage niece and nephew, who I grew up with, and we are doing some seriously crazy dances. Like, we go online and we get the biggest, fastest stuff we can find, and we can do them. And we have fun doing them together, and we're able to dance those crazy dances together. But we have grown together as dancers. And I can make a hand motion and they know exactly what I mean and where to go, even if it's different than what it was supposed to be, because we've grown together. And that's another thing, is as you start, you aren't going to be where our dance team here, leaders, are. This has been something that's been put together and we've practiced and worked on for years. And it's okay. You know, if you mess up every single song during a worship dance for your group, that's okay. You start small and work your way bigger. And if your heart remains with the desire to worship and serve your Heavenly Father, that is where He can work and use you. If we are so busy stuck on how big we are and how good we are, He can't use that for His glory. And you might happen to bless somebody as a side passing thing, because Yahweh can use anybody, even donkeys. He still can't really fully use you as much as he would like to. All right? So our responsibility when we lead, just as in any other area of service, is if you're in it to get glory and recognition as I am a great dance leader and everybody wants me to lead their dance, you're stealing glory from our Heavenly Father. And He is a very jealous God. And I believe that He gives and He takes away. And I have no desire to lose, you know, anything that He has given me, the blessing of the ability to choreograph, the blessing that He has given me to be able to dance and to share this passionate, joyful, wonderful form of worship with people. And it is my desire to give Him glory and honor for that. And as a dance leader, to teach others to worship and to worship their Heavenly Father in a way that, you know, is a little different than a lot of the Christian Reformed churches that are in our area that I grew up with. And you stand, and you sit, and you stand, and you sit. And it's like, worship Him. All right? So now that I've hopefully put a little fear of Yahweh in you, and that He's in charge and we got to give Him the glory, I'm going to teach you a couple of things. I'm going to teach you Old Friend and how to lead Old Friend. Now, I'm very sure you guys know Old Friend, but I want to teach you how to lead Old Friend as if you were doing it with a bunch of people who really didn't have a clue what they were doing, and do it confidently. And then we're going to do Dance With Me sequence. It's a very slow, pretty song, but each one of you is going to get to lead part of that song, and we will be watching you, and you will lead with the hand motions and stuff like that. I'm also going to teach you what we do for hand motions for a lot of the steps. And while some of our dance, like because we come from all over the place and we don't regularly dance together, my hand motions for some things are very different than somebody else's hand motions for things. And that's fine, as long as everybody understands what we mean when we do a hand motion. And we did kind of in our dance before services started, we say, okay, this is what we mean when we want to do a kibbutz. We're going to do this. And so all of us as dance leaders say, okay, this means kibbutz. And, you know, if you're going to point, that means we're going to go that way. And so I'm going to show you those different steps, and we're going to work through those things, and we're going to dance to music. And another thing I want to emphasize is people are going to be looking at you the whole time. And that is fine. So I know some people, if you get really self-conscious or you're, you know, you're just like, oh man, I'm gonna mess up. You know what? Mess up. You will mess up. Just keep going. And I can't tell you how many times I've messed up leading a dance circle. Most of the time, people won't remember that you messed up if you just keep going. Because if you just, you know what? Oh, we're supposed to be going the other direction. All right, let's go the other direction now. And that is fine. And if you have grace and mercy on your people in your dance circle, they will return that grace and mercy back to you. And they will love you if you love them. And if you show them love, it's usually reciprocated. And so once you get over the idea that I don't want to mess up, you're going to mess up. All right, now what are you going to do when you mess up? That's when you just keep going. And all right, so my dance group, we do something called Street Performance Series in Holland, Michigan, where we perform on the streets, and you can do busking, which means you're begging for money. You have a little pot out there, and they put money in it. Well, there's the whole entire street is shut down and from cars, and we do performances all the way down the street. And so I've got Paul Wilbur's Shouts of Joy just blaring out down the streets, and we do flags and stuff like that. So there's 8 to 12 of us dancing, and we got little costumes and stuff. So we're just going to town, and I totally have a mind blank in the middle of a song dance, and we're doing something crazy fast, and I'm like complete mind blank. So I just go into old friend, and all of my girls kind of raise their eyebrow at me. They all follow me in old friend till I figure out where we're supposed to be, and we go back. Well, everybody in the audience who doesn't know our song had no clue, but man, did my girls give me time afterwards. They're like, you messed up. And I'm like, yes, I did. But we just kept going, and nobody knew. So they probably were wondering why everybody in the circle was all tittering, laughing at me. But, you know, it was all right. We messed up. We just keep going. But so it's, you know, it's not the end of the world. And all my girls gave me much grace and mercy. Considering how much I drilled them on know the dances. Yeah. So it's a lot of fun.
Excuse me, potty break.
So what happens if you mess up? So you do mess up. Well, mass chaos can ensue, or you just keep going, you know? And that's the point. Just keep going. All right, so we're going to go over dances. I think we have enough space right here so we don't have to tear down the room. And if you don't understand, I'm just going to go through each step. If you don't understand a specific step or you don't remember later, the dance workbook that's for sale upstairs, the DVD, the YouTube videos, all of those things will help explain that. So if you go home, if you have a question, just like wave at me and we'll work through that. Okay, so let's see. What time is it? We have a half an hour dance. Perfect. All right. So what I did was I went upstairs and got one of Jordan's little scarves. And so this is a shameless plug for Jordan's scarves. whoever is leading is going to wear it. So then that way you kind of know, all right, I'm supposed to be leading. I'm supposed to be watching this person and just help determine, you know, this is your mantle. And then we will pass the mantle. Okay. So let's move over here. All right, and when she comes back, she can join us right there. Since I'm leading, I will wear the mantle. We're going to start with the old friend, all right? And it begins with a terkazia. So generally, when we're going to do a terkazia, we point up to whichever direction we're going, okay? So we're going to do a single terkazia. So I would point up, and we would step in, and now we're going to do a mayim to the left. So if I point to the left, everybody knows we're moving in that direction. And whether it's a kibbutz or a mayim, everyone at least understands that is the direction of travel. So we're going to go to a mayim. So then we mayim, coupe, we're going to step across, come back in a turn, and then a big coupe. Okay, so I'm kind of, you're kind of telling people where you're going before you get there. So if I was to point as I'm going up, it's a little late, yes. So you want to point before you're going. And as I'm coming out of that terkazia, I'm already pointing to where we want to go. Halfway through that mayim, I'm telling you we're going to cross. As I come out of that coupe, I'm telling you we're turning kind of thing. And most people, once they understand, oh, we're doing old friend, they're going to know where we're going. So the idea is to signal or tell people where you're going about a half a step before you get there. Because if we're going forward and I want people to go backwards, you want to be able to tell them so they can shift their weight backwards to go backwards instead of doing a terkazia, because a lot of times we'll go forward four and do a terkazia. Sometimes we'll go forward four and then go backwards four. And so the idea is to let people know where you're going before you get there. Okay?
So on the terkazia, you only point with both hands if there's two?
If we are doing a single terkazia, or I'm finishing out a motion with my hand, I'll just point with whichever hand is available.
If there's two
terkazias, sometimes we'll go in and then point back in again. There's also that double terkazia, and that's this one, right together, right, left, and so we'll do that, and that's a double. So you're going in twice. So that's twice, okay? And a turn is, I always do my hand turn in the direction that I'm physically going to do. So I will turn, I'm turning this way, I'm moving my hand the same direction. If I'm going the other way, I move my hand. I don't know if anybody can tell, but I'm telling, we're turning that way by the way I move my hand in the direction, okay? And when we're going to do a coupe, if you cross your body over and point down, it's automatically telling people you're crossing your body. Whereas if I just went like this, you may not know, like, Emma, are we taking a step? Are we going into a kibbutz? Are we doing a Yemenite? So if you cross, that tells you we're crossing our body. Okay? So terkazia, we're just going to point up for terkazia. A mayim, if you point, usually we do big arms for a mayim too. We do the big wing arms. So you kind of understand, oh, we're going to do a mayim kind of idea. What's that?
How can you indicate
two mayims? I will point with my hand twice. So we're going to go one, and then I'll point again, two. And I don't think you can ever over-direct. You can never tell somebody, like, oh, I've already done this three times, I don't need to do it anymore. Well, they still don't, if they don't know the song, they have no clue where they're still going. So I don't think you can ever over-tell somebody where you're going to go. And so it's never bad to keep telling it, even if you're doing four old friends in a row. And so you got the terkazia, you go to the mayim, and you're like, okay, everybody knows where they're going again. Well, on the next time, still tell them you're going back in, and then they can follow a little bit more. Or on the turn, to keep everybody on time. You know, those are, the big ones are terkazias and turns, because those usually start Target seasons usually start something, and the turns is something that if you get off on a turn and you're facing the wrong direction, you will miss the next direction to tell you. So the turns are pretty important to make sure people understand where you're going with that. Another thing that we do is sometimes we flip, like we do a Mayim and then we turn around and we do a Mayim continuing, and that's this. Because you don't want to do this. This would tell people we're turning around. So you're just flipping. So you just, you know, your hand just flip. You know, I'm this way, and now we're this way. Okay, so let's try that, the Mayim flip thing. So we're going to do a Mayim, right, left, right behind left, right, out left, right behind left. And then you know how we do that Turkazia to the in the line of direction? So you would be facing her. And then we do a turn. One, two, three, and then we do a coupe. Okay, so to direct, let's do that sequence just to teach you a minute. So what it is if you do your right, left, right behind left, and you check your left is pivoting, so your next step is right, left behind, right, and then you're going to do a Turkazia forward. And then as you come out of that Turkazia, you're turning over your right shoulder. One, two, three, coupe. That's a sequence we do a lot in a lot of our worship dances, and it's very pretty. But the flipping, you flip. And then you would point the direction that Turkazia is going. So if it's not going to the middle, it's going in the line of direction. You'd point in the line of direction. All right? And sometimes when we did, it is Shabbat. We ran four. So you were running four, and I will put out, we got four fingers. One, two, three, four, and then I do this for the sway. And then one, two, three, four, and this for the sway.
Do people put their hands up when they sway? Do you want them to? Where do you want them to?
Well, the sway is usually about here, but it's okay if they're up here. Okay. But it's just that way, because we have such huge circles, you know, people can see me. If you're in a smaller circle, and this is all my circle is, my signs will be less dramatic. You know, I just might point like this instead of like this. So that's also something you take into consideration. If you happen to be leading a group of 300 people, like I think we had that one time, you know, all your stuff has to be above people's heads so they can see. If they can't see you, you didn't give a signal, is pretty much what is happening. Okay? So let's do Old Friend, and I'm just going to lead it as if I was doing it, and then we're going to pass the mantle on to the next person, and then you would lead it. And then we're going to pass it on to you, and then you.
Do you mind if I kind of follow your hands so I get the idea of how to
do it? Oh, yeah. During this time, you guys can completely practice with me. Completely do what I do. You can mimic me. Sometimes I'm leading, and I'm watching other people, and they're doing exactly the same thing as me. They're, like, turning their hands like this in the air. And that's fine. I mean, they're following me so fast that they're doing exactly, and they're like, oh, yeah. Which is, it's funny, but then you know, wow, that person's really watching me right now. Okay? So you totally follow. So here we go, Turkazia. In and out, or Denumayim. Cross. Coupe. Turn around. And coupe. Okay?
The thing that's really hard is, are you good at translating the mirror image?
That is hard.
Yeah. So could I?
Sure. Yeah.
It's just like a mental handicap.
You know what? Let's all stand in a line. I will stand here. Okay. Or wait, for the sake of the video, I will stand here, and then you guys stand in a line behind me, and we'll just go together like that. Okay? And then you can see what I'm doing kind of idea. So, Turkazia, Mayim, cross, coupe, turn around, and coupe. Okay, so again, Turkazia, Mayim, coupe, All right. Good. Another one we do is the Yemenite. That's another step we do. And that one, we've all decided this is a Yemenite. You know, we also, if you're going to go backwards, usually we do Yemenites, right is always first and left is always second. We must all be right-handed coordinated choreographers because everything usually happens on the right first. So I we'll have fun if we have a left-handed choreographer who comes and totally changes everything. Okay, so this is a Yemenite. This is an easy way to say it. However, if you're going forward four and you want people to back up, I tend to do this. This is my backup. Yeah. Yemenite for me and my smaller group is this, because this is my first step back into a Yemenite. Unlike a coupe, which would be, you know, your cross. So every person is different. And for here, this for me means a Yemenite. If you find a different signal that works better for you and your group understands that, it's perfectly fine. Okay? It's just when you come together with another bigger group, just understand that sometimes you just have to retrain your brain for a week and do it different. So this means Yemenite here, which means the 3-6 center clap, 9-6 center clap. Right? So that's your Yemenite. Kibbutz, we generally start out way up here, and you know this is going to be a kibbutz to the right. So right, left behind, right heel, left, right behind, left heel. Okay? So you know you're going to do a kibbutz when you're up here. And then kibbutzes can be done this way, or they can be done this way. And so depending on your choreography, that idea. Okay? So does that help? All right. I have a really fun song called The Rock in the Door. And I say it, a rock in the door. But it's a rock in the door means I believe. And it's by Jonathan Sattel, and it's a lot of fun. And it's got parts in the middle that you like go, whoa, whoa. So during that part, we're going to switch the mantle to the next person, okay? I won't make you jump around. It's too early for that.
She did this one last night.
Yeah. Was it not fun?
It was fun.
If you want to jump around, we can. But it's when I do with the kids, the little kids. So once they get old friend, we have a lot of fun with that. Let's see, music. Na 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 na. So we're gonna do it, and then I'll just pass this on each time. Trigazia, Mayu.
What I did was so good, was so fine. They used to see me used to dance, I thought I was the best. You see, and all the time the Lord was very patient, waiting just for me.
Wow. All right. So now we will
lead next person. I don't think I can do it.
All right, you lead next. Okay? And I'll keep leading. You just go, yeah, I'll keep leading, I'll tell you. Okay, ready, going in.
There was a lady used to say that all I need was time to play. And in the night with all my mind, I used to do the things that weren't right. I didn't care,
there you go.
I couldn't see, I wouldn't see.
And if you're going to mess up with emphasis. Two tricks, yes. Okay, now you can give it to her. Yeah. So you like the swimming. All right, here we go. Ready? Yeah. Coupe. When you get comfortable, you will automatically incorporate it into your dance. You'll automatically incorporate. That's okay.
So when you go this way, I'm used to going point this arm.
You can point with either. Either one will tell you which way you need to go. Okay? So you just sort of get used to putting that sign in while you're doing it. You just get comfortable with it. When you're not comfortable yet, it's okay. You'll get there. We can just do old friend the way it is right now. Yep, ready, go. Yep.
Oh, I forgot this.
Sorry, I'll do it with you. Okay, and it's okay if you're not comfortable yet. It'll come. It will come with practice. And this is where practicing in front of a mirror. This is where practicing with somebody like your dog works. I have found that my dogs love me and they don't care if I mess up.
Yeah, I see that. You almost have to think like a split second ahead. To where we're used to dance and we're just used to going up like this. Well, when we're here, we should be pointing, you know.
Yes.
You always have to think.
So everything is that. Yep, exactly.
To get used to that. Yeah.
So everything.
That's so important because that is the only way you can do it if you don't know the dances. That's what's so critical about it.
Right.
And that's what I appreciate so much about the leaders is that it's just so clear. And how you start, you know, like, I'm the leader.
Yeah.
That person identifies himself. And then, like you said, the hand motion's really high. It's just so helpful.
I'm going to go. Right.
So that's the reason why you have to know the dance. So that's your very beginning, basic start. Spot right there is you have to know the dance because that will give you the confidence to be able to say, this is where we're going, and I'm 99% sure this is where we're going, and that will give you the confidence to be able to lead and direct. So when you first start learning a dance, learn it for yourself first and then learn it to lead. Okay, so if you learn a dance thinking, oh, I got to do this and this and this, learn it for yourself first so you have that muscle memory. There are some dances that I do that I don't have to think when I'm dancing them. I'm just moving with the music because the music tells me where I'm going, and my hand motions are no longer even... I'm not even thinking, oh, I have to go here now, or oh, I have to go do this now. It's just simply, it's part of the dance. And I'm not like that with all the dances, by any means. You know, and sometimes I have to work really hard on a dance to get it. But once I get it, then I can take it to the next level of leading. And leading is the next level. You learn it, and then you learn to teach someone else. And so writing it down, writing it out the way you understand it, will help with that sometimes. Doing it over and over to different songs, like Old Friend, can be done to a variety. You can do it to a really slow hymn. You can do it to something like that, which is about medium fast. You can do it to something crazy fast. It's the same thing, but it feels different for each different song style. And when you do that, you'll have to be quicker or slower on your hand motions and where you're telling people. So it is a process. I am, if you want to say, at least a 5-year veteran of a dance leader for here, a Season of Our Joy. That's a lot of hours of practice that have gone into that. You guys are newbies. That's what I call my baby, regardless of age, my baby dancers as newbies. where you're at, in 5 years, who knows where you may be at? Who knows how many people's lives you will have touched and blessed because you brought them something that they've never experienced before, that they've never had the opportunity to see before. But because you are standing in a gap and filling a hole that brings something to them, our broken vessels can be the blessing that God can use to pour out on other people's lives. And if He is what is being poured out of us onto them, that will be the blessing, and that will be the joy and the, you know, just fun that you can have in dance. And you're going to mess up, and it's going to be okay. It's just don't quit and just keep trying, all right? On our website, we have my email if you have any questions. If you want me to show you a dance, like, hey, I love this dance, but I can't figure it out. Can you show me how to teach it? I can do a video teaching it, stick it on there. You can copy it and take it with you.
It'll be out in our driveway. Dog.
Yep.
That was the cutest video that you did for our dance, though. Just like, how sweet.
My dogs dance with me.
Yeah, they do.
So, yeah, I answer questions, whatever you need. So I hope this was helpful. I hope you have fun. Question. Yes.
When you're just learning a dance, it helps to have it on video, but when you learn a new dance, do you like go online and look for a dance, or do you have a video? Because I have trouble translating what I'm seeing. You know, I may be dyslexic, like, you know, looking at everything backwards or something. I have a real problem. But is that how you learn?
Because of my experience, and because I don't have a problem going the opposite direction, mm-hmm. just because I've gotten used to doing that,
yeah.
I can learn dances that way. However, when I teach dances, I teach dances from behind and in front. Mm-hmm. So when I teach a dance, mm-hmm. I will teach you like I did in the line.
Yeah.
And I'll do that on purpose so then you can watch my feet, and my feet are doing the same thing your feet are doing at the same time. And that's why in the Sukkot video, there's three people, so you always have one person's back to you. It is infinitely easier to learn something when you're doing the same way. So yes, I absolutely agree. And if you find a dance that you just can't figure out, come back to it in a year.
Okay, another question.
Yes.
Do you use CDs or what do you have over there?
I have a little MP3 player. A lot of people have phones. You can use CDs. It's whatever you have that works for you. Mm-hmm. Some people have computers. Mm-hmm. The thing I am...
To be more technical, I could do a few things, but I don't know how to do an MP3, and it looks like...
MP3s are really cheap, and they're also very simple if you get just a standard simple one.
How do you download, or do you have a CD at home that you put on?
That one... Email me.
Okay.
Because my husband's a technical one, and he does all my music. He's the one behind the camera right now. He does all my music. CDs are fine.
Okay.
One thing I do be very careful about for me is that I don't steal music. Like, I will purchase a song because I want to support the artist.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just give away their music and then that kind of thing. Okay? Yes?
Another question. Okay, we have a rabbi who loves to have dance, choreographed dance, but they have live music, and we never have a chance to play it, practice with their musicians. How do we learn?
That song is probably done somewhere originally, somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, so practice with that. And songs always follow verse, chorus, verse, chorus, verse, chorus, mm-hmm. even if it's done live and even if they mess with it.
They might often
change
it a little bit.
So if they change a little bit, go into Old Friend.
Yeah.
Go into a double up. Mm-hmm. All right, we're waiting for when I get back to where I know where I am.
Now, another problem is you have to have coordination between the leader and the worship team and yourself to be able to bring the dance. And a lot of them... they don't communicate well about what songs are they going to do and when are they going to do and what order are they going to do them.
Yes, I completely understand. Before I was the worship leader, I don't do dance at our fellowship anymore because I now am the worship leader. I sing in Pele Piano. My worship team would never tell me what they were going to do. So I was able, by the gift of the Holy Spirit, to make up dances on the spot. But all I was doing was taking groups of dance steps that all equal 32 beats and putting those together and then just, you know, we'll do this to that. And then, you know the worship dance songs that you're getting into, you know. So if you get a couple of dance group steps together that go with, Adonai step works really good on a chorus, and that whole sequence of steps, part one, part two, part three in your dance books and your dance things, those will go to almost everything if it's 4-4 time. Okay? So use things that you've got already. And then the choreographing, taking dance home choreographing class, look at that, because I explain all that in the class as well. How to take groups of steps and put them together to music. And then you're not feeling so much pressure to just come up with it. You can use things you already know.
Then do you have another flagger, or do you flag and dance? What do you do at your fellowship?
At my fellowship, I'm the worship leader, so I'm on the piano and singing.
Okay.
In my dance class, okay. I teach dance. Okay. I teach dance class on a different night of the week, and we do flags in there, we do dancing in there, and it's a 2-hour class, and so I can pack a lot into that.
Can you use the flags in your worship fellowship?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'm able to dance with flags. Anything we do dancing, I can do with flags. Not everyone is as coordinated as that. If you just want to wave your flags, that's fine. Mm-hmm. If you want to dance and then go, everybody go wave flags, and then we'll come back and dance, that is fine. You don't have to dance every single class. So that's another thing. If you only want to do 2 dances during the service, that's fine. And then just everybody sing.
What we've done a couple times is walk around, like the dance team will go up and down and flags will be interspersed. I mean, people who don't want to dance, they're just waving their flag and the rest are just kind of, that's the coolest part because everybody can participate.
Yep, that all works.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much for coming to the class, and I hope this helps. If you have any questions, you know how to get a hold of me.